I'm joined by the Bahraini activist and writer Ala Shahabi, who's monitoring events from London. Ala, can you get a sense from where you are of what's happening across the island?
Yeah, I've been speaking to many friends and relatives in Bahrain this morning and last night, and they've been reporting on what's been going on the ground. Obviously, I've been also monitoring the situation online.
And we've had a death of one 16-year-old boy, appears to have been killed by the security forces. Where does this leave the negotiation between the opposition and the government?
Well, the negotiations actually are not between the opposition and the government. The negotiations are between the opposition and other people, other kind of representatives of other political groups. They're not being held directly with top officials who actually kind of decide on the political system in Bahrain.
That's the problem, right?
That's very much the problem. That's why no one really takes the talk seriously, not even the opposition themselves. So the opposition groups that have taken part, particularly El Wefaq, which is the biggest, represents the biggest constituency, have only sent a low-level member of their society rather than, you know, the highest level, because they have been saying that if talks do take place, they take place between the government, between the opposition and people in government, basically the executive or the king himself, who can actually will actually eventually decide on what changes take place. That only represents the societies who are committed to a negotiated settlement. But also we have a different dialogue taking place on the streets of Bahrain, and there's an argument to say that they represent the majority, and that general feeling on the streets is that they reject all forms of dialogue because they don't believe that the current monarchy has the authority or the legitimacy to be ruling the country. So they've been calling for the overthrow of the government.
So are these protests today in part designed to undermine the dialogue initiative?
To the youth protesters on the streets, the dialogue initiative is irrelevant. These protests go ahead on an annual basis, and it's to kind of, to them, it's to reassert their right to return to the former Pearl Roundabout, and it's to continue commemorating the death of at least 100 people who have been killed. So, and the opposition itself, even the ones that have taken part, stress the importance of the street protest movement, and that because there's so much skepticism about the sincerity by the government over these talks, that no one is taking them seriously, no one wants to give them legitimacy or credibility to undermine what is actually a very organized protest and opposition movement at the moment. Just one final thing is that the timing is also very suspicious of these talks, just a few days ahead of the anniversary. And we suspect, my NGO Bahrain Watch has been documenting the use of PR companies, and we suspect that the launching of these talks a few days ahead of the anniversary is to really deflect and divert the focus away from the political crisis in the country and try and spin the headlines. And the very fact that you're asking me about dialogue seems to some extent that they have succeeded in kind of at least diverging the attention away from what's happening in the country at the moment.
Isn't there a danger that by hosting these protests that the protesters fall into the trap, the sort of PR trap that you're suggesting they're playing? And we've had the Ministry of Interior today referring to protesters as rioters. Isn't dialogue a better strategy?
Well, the thing is that the government wants to see the country return back to the status quo. And the people of Bahrain are saying, we don't want to go back to the status quo. We want change. We want political change. So the majority of protests are largely peaceful mass gatherings when they do take place. And they're huge. And people kind of have always believed in peaceful struggle and peaceful protests. They're facing kind of armored personnel carriers. They're facing guns, birdshot. A protester was killed last night in a violent security attack on one of the protests in the village. There's an image of him. He's unarmed. And the videos, for example, that I'm seeing today, and which I hope The Guardian will show, are of peaceful protesters bravely facing the police. And so this is not to romanticize the protest. There are, of course, there has been an escalation and an increasing use of basic kind of violent tactics like stone throwing and Molotov cocktails. And we've seen that across the Arab world in Egypt and Tunisia and so on. But these are kind of like a nothing in the face of the tanks and the guns and the ammunition that the security forces are using, and that is in fact leading to the continuing death, killing of peaceful protesters.
There are daily protests in Bahrain. From your friends and family, do you get a sense of the morale of protesters at the moment?
Passions are extremely high. I believe that the Bahraini uprising has been the longest sustaining uprising in the Arab world, in the sense that there have been there have been protests across villages on a daily basis in at least 10 or locations every day from the monitoring that we do. So there's crowdsourcing maps that I continue to view, and I posted one on my Twitter account last night. And it just literally, you can see the locations of protests across the country. They're spread out geographically, they're all over the place, and they happen every day. And they continue to happen, so passions are still running really high. I think from my the impression that I get is that the opposition movement in general, both inside and outside the country, is much more organized this year in campaigning. In organizing protests and in renewing the skills and talents of people of all ages across the country that really are passionate and believe in the cause that they're fighting for.
Would you like the international community to put more pressure on the government?
Well, what we've been saying is, generally, our position is, when no one in Bahrain is asking for intervention or any military kind of intervention or anything, we're just saying to the international community, particularly the US and the UK, is to stop supporting the Bahraini regime. The people of Bahrain may stand a chance of winning this particular battle, of obtaining their rights, if the Bahraini government and the regime stops getting the logistical, military security, and moral support from the US and the UK governments in particular, that are providing them with all sorts of goods and services in the security sector in particular as well. So, you know, the ammunition, birdshot that killed the protester last night was supplied by a Cypriot company. Without those guns, those arms, without the software and technology, and the services that it gets from the international community, the Bahraini government would not be able to do this. And we would stand a chance, the Bahraini people would stand a chance of actually kind of defeating it eventually.
What are the key demands of the protesters?
The current Arab Spring uprising in Bahrain is it has culminated from a long-standing historical struggle that began at least in the 1920s. People in Bahrain have been consistently calling for greater participation, for the right to self-determination, to decide on their own political destiny. And that has largely been translated at the moment into basically a democratic system, whether that be a constitutional monarchy or a republican democratic system. So the people are calling for democratic rights. They differ on whether they believe that it should be a constitutional monarchy, so there's a place for the ruling family, or a republican democratic system in which there is no place for the ruling family. So the message has been consistent that if you do not reform, or if you don't give us our rights through basic democratic reform, in which you've had at least 100 years to do, then there are increasing calls for a republican system in Bahrain. That's obviously considered a red line that by a lot of people who are allies to the Bahraini regime who do not wish there to be a change in the current political system. But the majority of Bahrainians really just want to live in basic dignity and freedom. They don't believe that the current royal family has ever or is willing to deliver that. And with the increasing death toll, passions are running very high, and the trust, there's zero trust at the moment with the current royal family. The state media continues to perpetrate this narrative of dismissing and accusing the protesters and the opposition of being traitors and so on, and continuing to accuse them of being backed by Iran and being Iranian agents and so on. That just doesn't help. And the rift is so large at the moment between the two, it's difficult to even envision that reconciliation is possible unless very serious democratic reforms take place.
Okay, Ella, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much.